My name is Joel. I'm one of the leaders in the church. I want to talk to you briefly about those wise men that Maddie referred to in the reading just now. We sometimes skip past those characters, I think. We can relate a little perhaps more to the shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph. These kind of extra characters who turn up at the end of the story seem maybe a little bit of a bonus extra. Why do we need them? What part do they play? We appreciate them. Thanks for turning up and bringing your slightly odd sort of secret Santa collection of gifts. And the kind of obvious confusion that follows, that they were obviously wise men, not wise women. They obviously hadn't asked for directions. That was part of the whole process of how they got there. But there's something I really admire about them. It wasn't until I read T.S. Eliot's poem, The Journey of the Magi, that I realized how much of an extraordinarily uncomfortable journey they would have undergone. Hundreds of miles of difficult terrain and difficult conditions and different cultures than what they were used to. You have to ask the question, what provoked them? What motivated this quest? And we don't know the details, we can't. But we can know that they must have been convinced that there was some great answer to be found. There was some great truth worth pursuing. That, at least, sets them apart for our respect. See, I'm convinced that many people go through their whole life not ever deciding whether there could be such a thing as truth, ultimate answers to life. I think we live in a time where people have almost completely given up on the idea and decided instead to settle for a life without any investigation, without any quest for answers. But these men, they knew there must be truth. They were prepared to follow it to the ends of the earth in order to find it. If I was to say to you, I'd like you to go down to the end of the Brighton Pier and just wait there for a while, right now, just go. Put your coat on, just go. I think you probably have the right to ask me why. What's on my mind? What's the purpose behind this? But isn't it remarkable that we're prepared to go through years and years of life without ever really knowing or even asking the question, why? Why is it that we're here? Why is it we have found ourselves in this place? These people wanted to know. They pursued it. They investigated, and they're to be commended for that, surely. They're very different in that respect from Herod, who, although he had answers literally under his scepter, he was not far from Bethlehem. He could have investigated for himself. His instinct instead is to protect his own interests. He feels the threat. When they start talking about a king having been born, he's immediately shifty and uncomfortable. And maybe in that respect, he's not that different from most of us. I think that I've been like Herod at many stages of my life. I'm perfectly happy with the idea of religion out there, the idea that maybe there's some kind of God thing that's floating out there in outer space or beyond outer space, but the idea that he, as a person, wants to come and be king, wants to come and have government, is inconvenient, to say the least, and uncomfortable. And so, like Herod, I spent a lot of my life, especially in my teens, trying to resist his government and trying to be king myself instead. I think that's the natural instinct of most men and women, and maybe that's exactly which category you find yourself in. But Herod, at least, has kind of got a reaction. The scribes in Jerusalem, there's no reaction. They are aware that Herod is investigating the claim that a baby who may be the Messiah has been born, and it has been born in Bethlehem. You know that Bethlehem is only 5 miles away from Jerusalem. And these who are professional scribes, professional students of the scriptures, who have been spending their whole lives getting paid to study these things, when will the Messiah come? Where will he arrive? When he does arrive, they don't even investigate the place. They don't go. They look it up in their books, they say, yeah, I think Bethlehem, and then stay there. I think, what on earth is it about us that makes us not want to investigate further? I think some of us perhaps have assumed that Christianity, Jesus Christ. Maybe there are answers there. Maybe Jesus is real. Maybe he even rose from the dead. But do we really need to investigate it? These wise men traveled hundreds of miles to find out. These scribes in Jerusalem wouldn't travel 5 miles to find out. I wonder how hungry you are to find out real answers for life, answers to big questions of truth, answers to big questions of why we're even here. Jesus comes into the world offering answers, claiming to have answers, claiming to be the answer. And we may be literally across the road from the place where we could find those answers, but like those scribes in Jerusalem, we don't investigate. The church, on the other hand, seems to be growing around the world. The Oxford World Encyclopedia of Christianity says that 115,000 people become Christians every day. So globally, the cause of Christianity is increasing rapidly. But in countries like ours and cities like this one, there's a tendency for us perhaps to think that this is not relevant to us. And I wonder what that is. I wonder why we think that we don't need to investigate him. I think one reason is that we've kind of been inoculated. A little bit like friends of mine who I've spoken to over the years and said, you need to know about Jesus Christ. And they'll say, no, I don't need to know about religion. And I've said, I didn't say religion. I said Jesus. I remember saying that to someone specifically who laughed, because he literally laughed. He thought, that's a contradiction. I thought you just said religion. I said, no, Jesus. He said, it's the same thing, isn't it? I said, no, I'm not actually talking to you about religion. See, religion is an inoculation. You know how it works. You get a weaker version of a disease so that your immune system is provoked and ready to fight off the disease. Jesus comes to us as the powerful disease. The good disease, the disease we need. But if we've only known religion, if we've known ritual, if we've known some kind of tame, weak, anemic version of it, we might think we've seen Jesus coming and fight him off. I'm here to tell you that whatever experience of religion you've had, Jesus is real. Jesus himself is unique. Jesus himself is the one with answers. And like these wise men, I want to be someone who pursues him. And pursues him and travels if necessary to find him. The good news is that we needn't travel like these men did, because he's available to us here. They actually went first to the wrong place. They went to a palace because they assumed they knew where a king would be born. They had things to learn about what kind of a king he is. He's the kind of king that gets born in a nowhere town and in a stable. When you get to know the real God, you'll find he's full of incredible surprises. He'll turn your expectations on their head. He'll surprise you at every turn, but you'll find nevertheless that the quest is worth it, because the one that we pursue is truly the light of the world. That's been my experience, and that's been the experience of many, many. I'm just going to lead in one prayer of thanksgiving to God for Christmas and for what it means, and then I know that we're going to have further singing. Almighty Father God, we are grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, for all that he is, all that he's become in our lives, all that he is becoming. And we want to thank you for all that this year has given us in our experience of him. And we want to ask you to abide with us, to be our Emmanuel, God with us, into 2015 and beyond. Speak to us through this Christmas season. Teach us to know your voice and know your plan for our lives, according to your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.